You can listen to The Vile Files ad-free on Amazon Music. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Vile Files Ask Nick Edition. I'm your host, Nick, joined by Allie and Amanda. What's going on, ladies?
I have a question, because obviously I come from a very traditional family who's like, you get married for life, very Catholic. But we talk a lot about on the show, you know, waking up every day, choosing each other, knowing that whether, you know, it's a dating relationship or I guess even a marriage, that person could decide you're no longer their person. So valuing them, valuing every day, which got me thinking, could you potentially get married knowing that or flagging that? Like, there is a very likely chance that we get divorced, or are you just supposed to be so fully convinced that you're going to spend the rest of your life? Like, is that a warning sign? Is that just being practical? Because I feel like I'm the type of person who's like, yeah, I could maybe get married multiple at times because I haven't met that person. If you talk to my sister who just got married, she would say, absolutely not. I'm spending the rest of my life with this person. So would that be a sign not to get married to that person? Or is that just pointing to who you are?
It's a complicated question.
Yeah, it's a thinker.
What I would say is that the more you can install kind of these best practices that we talk about, or being open to the possibility that your current partner might not have all the characteristics that you want in a life partner. And the more you can be honest with yourself while you're dating, the more likely you are to avoid the possibility that you might have to be faced with these tough decisions in a marriage. I think a lot of people are approaching dating situations kind of like a marriage, in the sense that, like, once they say, I love you, and they start playing house or move in together or get a dog together, you know, which are kind of big steps in a relationship and are also like make it more inconvenient to break up, then they just kind of muscle through the relationship and then try to get to the appropriate next steps. And so they, you know, I think there's a ton of people who get married when things are kind of rocky, or, you know, or they get married where they mean, like, you know, and they push down any concerns and doubts and things like that because they're like kind of pot committed.
Yeah. But then are they at that point saying, well, now we're committed, now it'll work out, we'll spend the rest of our lives together? Or is there,
I mean, whatever you tell yourself. I mean, like, I don't know what day, I don't know when it happened in like society where like getting divorced just became like socially acceptable, because there was definitely a time where it was just flat out not.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And if you did, it was like a such,
like, so much of a stigma, damaged goods, yeah, like was, really atrocious.
And not, you know, and there was a point where it was just like, oh, that sucks, you know, and obviously difficult and has its challenges, but it became an option for people, men, women, everyone. And once that happened, no matter what was said at your vows, like, people like had an out, you mm-hmm. know? So like, I guess it doesn't ultimately matter the mindset, like what you tell yourself going in. It doesn't change the fact that people have an option to divorce you mm-hmm. if you don't like deliver on
your vows,
other than the death do you part.
I had a moment at my cousin's wedding where I was watching, it was like my cousin's parents, like my aunt and uncle, who are still together, have been together forever. Like, definitely an on again, off again relationship. Sounded like they put their friends through hell throughout high school and college with like all of the like, will they, won't they, et cetera. But like, have been married, have four kids, super happy. And then my cousin's husband, whose parents are divorced and they aren't really on speaking terms, they both showed up on the day and were very civil and cordial to one another. But it's definitely, it's not a marriage that ended with like mutual positivity necessarily. And I remember like getting so emotional thinking about how like it's kind of beautiful, like knowing that when you are like going into this marriage that like there's, it's not a surefire thing at all. And like, even though you may aspire to something, there's like statistically a really high likelihood that it might not pan out that way. And to still choose to do that is like, to take that leap, I think, is mm-hmm. so beautiful.
Yeah, I think how you frame it to yourself just depends on your personality or the personality of your partner. I think it's, some people see that as beautiful. Some people see it as like having one foot out the door.
Yeah, because I feel like if I voice this concern of like, oh, well, you never know, like it could one day end, I can hear a lot of people saying, well, then that's a sign you shouldn't be getting married. You shouldn't be marrying this person.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of people who are like, unless you are convinced that you know,
I think there's a difference between like saying that out loud, like, you never know, or just like being real with yourself, being like, I don't know, like, you never know. I have been in situations in my life where I thought something would never happen and it did. And going forward for the rest of my life, like when it comes to romantic relationships, I'm not saying I can't be shocked or surprised, but ultimately if something bad happens, I'll be like, that sucked. Mm-hmm. But I knew it was always possible.
Yeah.
I think now with the fact that divorce is a real thing, I think prenups are something that should be talked about more and more and shouldn't be demonized as unromantic. A prenup is only necessary if you do get divorced. So hopefully it's not necessary. And like lawyers, like at this point, like other than the love part, but a marriage in a lot of ways is a contractual agreement between two parties who plan on parenting together and sharing finances. And it just makes sense to like have something you don't need. Like it's like they always say, you'd rather like have something you don't need than need it and not have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think having a conversation about, you know, prenups and things like that, because hopefully that can like take the pressure off. Because like, listen, we only need this if it doesn't work out. And I hope to like put this away, but let's spend a little money now so that neither of us have to worry about if either of us are in it for the wrong reasons or things like that. That's not that you're questioning. It's all about, I can't predict the future. And we're hiring someone whose job it is to try to predict the future as much as possible. And then in writing, get us to agree like how we're going to go about things, et cetera, et cetera. And I think in a society where divorce is so commonplace and happens even to the couples who say they will never get divorced, I think it's something that can, you know, it can add to the upfront expectations and avoid complicated things down the road. But it's just a matter of perspective.
Yeah. Something that's I find kind of interesting is I think a lot of the couples who I talk to who have been like happily married for 30, 40, 50 years, I feel like with almost all of them, like they can point to a time where like things were really rocky and they weren't sure if they were going to make it. Like where stuff got really close to like hitting the fan, whether it was, you know, like circumstantial of like someone losing their job, financial stress, illness or death in the family, whether it was just like communication, interpersonal relationship stuff. And I do think there is something to be said, though, for this like breaking up is not an option, like we are going to figure it out mentality,
mm-hmm.
in terms of like being having that to navigate and get through those challenging times. But then it's also hard because it's like breaking up is not an option is also a philosophy that could keep you in a really toxic, like unhealthy relationship. And so it is so hard to know like what's right. But I do think there is kind of something to be said for like just this mentality of like, I'm going to figure it the fuck out no matter what.
I just think there's like probably more of a middle ground. Like if you're agreeing to marry someone, that's an even bigger commitment than dating. It's not as easy to just go in and out of the doors. You can't just up and leave, or you shouldn't. There's a difference between like pushing through something, and you're right, being in like a very toxic, unhealthy situation.
Yeah. And I think it's just like using common sense and being an adult and like, yeah, if you're going to get married, it's at a minimum, it's like
you're willing to push through
the
petty shit.
Everything we can possibly think of to save this relationship. Everything is an option to try to make this relationship work. And we're going to have to be patient with it. And we're going to have to be okay with knowing that there are going to be some like ups and downs. And those downs might last longer than a week. And we still have to be willing to like communicate, I love you, and things like that. You know, but to your point, like there's always that point where like that realization, I've done everything I possibly can think of and more. And then I stayed even longer and I don't feel safe or happy or secure and I don't know what else to do. You're forced to make a decision. But, you know, it's like using kind of common sense. But yeah, I think there's nuance to those conversations. I do think the oversimplification of like, well, if you ask me this question, then that means you don't love me or stuff like that. I think those are childish conversations and it's an oversimplification of any situation. And we live in a nuanced world, even though we like to pretend that we don't. And the more we can communicate upfront, the better position we're going to be in.
Well, speaking of divorce, breakup song of the week.
Breakup song of the week.
Divorce song of the week.
So this is the first. So part of me was tempted to like save this for a while because on the first day that we opened submissions, two people submitted this song. And I was like, how many people are going to submit this song? Like, I kind of wanted to see. But I think we got to give it to the people. And that song is
the
lamest drum roll in the world. Edge of Desire by John Mayer. Ooh. And so we had two different submissions and two different lyrics highlighted. So one was, I went through a breakup. Story voice. I went through a breakup after a five. Sorry. Okay. I went through a breakup after a 5-year relationship.
Somewhere in between. I went through a breakup.
Ew.
I went through a breakup after a 5-year relationship and didn't want to do anything. My cousin.
That's perfect. Keep going.
Okay, okay. My cousins forced me to go to a John Mayer concert with them. And when I heard this song live, I was like, damn. Okay, I feel this. This is the song that got me into John Mayer, who helped me get through my breakup. Through the song, I realized that no matter how sad I am, I will get through it. Also, I'll be damned if I'm afraid of a man forgetting about me. He should be worried that I'll forget about him, all caps. I grew so much from my breakup and am now happily engaged to someone else.
Yay!
Right. And then
the power of John Mayer.
The lyric for that person was, don't say a word, just come over and lie here with me, because I'm just about to set fire to everything I see. I want you so bad, I'll go back on the things I believe. There, I said it. I'm scared you'll forget about me. Oof. Cutting lyric. The other person who submitted the song did not submit a personal story, but the lyric that they highlighted was, wired and I'm tired. Think I'll sleep in my clothes on the floor. Maybe this mattress will spin on its axis and find me on yours.
Breakup song of the week.
Breakup song of the week.
Well, we have a great episode for you. Any updates on book club?
Book clubs are popping off. So again, go to our Instagram, the Vile Files Instagram. It's highlighted under on our little stories, story highlights. Book club links are right there. You can also search for them directly on Facebook. If you type in DTYEHB for, you know, any of the following cities, LA, San Diego, San Francisco, Phoenix, Dallas, Columbus, Boston, Sacramento, Denver, New York City, Toronto, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Vancouver, DC, Seattle, Baltimore, and we're working on some other ones. We have some more Canadian ones. I had someone reach out from Milwaukee, Nick. Ooh. So a lot of them are in progress. Buffalo is also in progress. So other ones popping up. We'll keep you guys updated. But if you're ever curious if your city is live and ready to go, again, just search DTYEHB book club dash whatever city, and it'll pop up if there is one. If not, feel free to send us an email or keep your fingers crossed that it's in progress being built.
All right. Well, don't forget to send in those questions at asknick@castme.com, cast with a K. We'd love some breakup stories. We want some bad first date stories. Even if you don't have a question, we'd just like to hear your stories. Well, obviously, if you have questions, we want to hear those. If you need help breaking up with someone, we're here to help. If you're not sure whether you should stay or go in a relationship, we're here to help you figure that out. And as always, we're looking for the situation should or get off the pot conversation with two people. Situationship mediation, essentially. So tell your friends, ask your friends, write us. Ask Nick, castme.com, cast with a K.
And also, if the company Christmas party gets saucy, please, we welcome any and all holiday stories.
Everything is anonymous, so don't you worry about that. Be sure to check out our freestyle episode Wednesday to, you know, all your pop culture. We'll do some calls. It'll be fun. Might have a special guest. We haven't decided yet. Katie Maloney from Vanderpump will be with us for Going Deeper on Thursday. So be sure to check that out. It'll be a ton of fun. Let's get to our callers. When it comes to choosing a wireless plan, you're forced to compromise. But what if you didn't have to? What if you could get reliable service without a contract and save money? Introducing Total by Verizon, a new no-contract, no-credit check carrier for you and your family with plans starting at just $30 per month on America's most reliable 5G network. Sacrifice nothing, experience everything. Total by Verizon is available at totalbyverizon.com and at retailers nationwide. Based on first place rankings and Root Metrics first half 2022 5G assessments of 125 metros. Experiences vary, not an endorsement. If you want to avoid being boring, basic, and bland gifts this year, Uncommon Goods is your secret weapon. Uncommon Goods is here to make your holiday shopping stress-free by scouring the globe for the most remarkable and truly unique gifts from everyone on your list. Whether you're shopping for your secret Santa or your entire family, Uncommon Goods knows exactly what you want.
I struggle shopping for my dad, so most holidays or his birthday end up Googling gifts for 60-year-old man, and it just doesn't create a ton. So I went to Uncommon Goods and I searched in for him, and there's everything from little beer koozies that look like tiny little flannels. There's a make your own hot sauce kit, which seems fun. A DIY root beer science kit. The man's an engineer, so all these things seem fun. Like, it's just a bunch of stuff you'd probably never think of, but they're going to open it and say like, wow, oh my gosh, this is perfect for me, or this is the most unique gift I've ever gotten in my entire life.
They have a 25-day advent calendar playlist on vinyl. Like, we're talking some very cool,
very unique,
stuff.
Thoughtful gifts, yeah. And the good news is, a bonus, when you shop on Common Goods, you are supporting artists and small independent businesses. These fine products are often made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. If you want to have that wow gift of the holidays, find it at Uncommon Goods. To get 50% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/VIALL. That is uncommongoods.com/VIALL for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Question time with Nick. Let's ask Nick your sexy questions.
How's it going?
Hi, I'm Madison. I'm 25 and I'm considering breaking up with my boyfriend and moving out. But one, I don't know if that's the right thing to do. And two, I'm also a little financially dependent on him and I don't know how much that's weighing into my decision making.
Okay. Well, let's start with why you are considering breaking up with your boyfriend.
So we've been having just a few issues over the past, I would say, 2 months. We've been fighting quite heavily. I mean, long story short, he's kind of thinking, he's like, okay, we either shit or get off the pot at this point. And a little background, he comes from a very broken family and like doesn't really have good ideas of like love and family life and all of that. And I come from a very stable and happy family. And I think I have a good idea on love and life and growing together. It's getting very real. And I think he's getting very scared. And him getting very scared makes me think, well, then why the heck am I living here and like sacrificing all this? So that has just like led into a bunch of other little fights. And I don't feel like I'm being loved to how I deserve to be loved, if that makes sense.
Sure. Well, how would you like to be loved and what is not happening?
I would like to be, even some of the basic stuff, like be told you're beautiful and little things on a daily basis that just like acts of service, I guess, in a sense, that make him show that he's caring and thinking about me, where in turn, I feel as though I'm the one doing a lot of the pursuing to him right now and trying to make sure he's happy, where in turn, he knows what I need. And I don't think he's really giving me any of that.
Have you communicated these concerns with him?
I have.
You have.
And he gets kind of defensive. And, you know, we talked about this last night and he was like, well, why haven't you told me any of this? And I'm like, literally, we broke up like 2 weeks ago. And this is one of the reasons why. And we started therapy actually last Friday was our first session. A lot of this was brought in as to why I'm not feeling loved or worthy. And it's like not registering with him.
How old is he?
He's 35. So there's a 10-year age difference between the two of us.
You already broke up with him and then got back together kind of thing?
We kind of had like a big fight about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm done. Like, because he said the deal breaker was, he was like, I'm not ready to marry you. And I don't know if I could get there.
That's a big statement. Yeah.
So, okay. Like that's enough. And I went home to my parents' house. I live about 5 hours away, packed up some stuff, went home for a week, which was not ideal. Like my life is here.
Sure.
I'm in a running group. Like I don't want to pack up and leave. Went home. We ended up talking and being like, no, we're going to work through this. We're going to go to therapy. Been back for about 2 weeks. It's been fine, but I feel like I'm just a second thought kind of in his head.
Interesting. So even after you guys got back together, you haven't even felt like a burst of effort from his part?
Exactly. Like one thing, for example, like I'm training for a marathon. So I went and ran 15 miles on Friday. And I asked him the night before if he can bring home 5 bags of ice. So I could, on his way home from work,
nice
I take an ice bath after. And like, he thought I was kidding. And I'm like, what?
He said that? I'm assuming he said he thought you were kidding?
Yeah. He got home and I was like, did you bring the ice? He's like, oh, I thought you were joking. And then he said he would make me breakfast. Didn't make me breakfast. So I had to like make both of us breakfast because then he got busy. And so it's like little things like that.
Have you said to him, you regularly don't make me feel like a priority?
Last night I did really for the first time.
You said the word priority? I feel like his men are kind of, you almost have to like simplify things.
Exactly. And I very much don't. I'm like a talker and a fixer and I'd like do all this stuff. And I think that just like overwhelms him. So I don't know.
Let's talk about the financially dependent part.
Yeah.
How financially dependent are you?
I mean, I have a job. I have my own money.
Is it a lifestyle thing or is it like you like incapable of supporting yourself?
No, it's a lifestyle thing. I've lived alone before him for a few years, but you know, I moved in June. I have some hefty student loans that I have. So when I moved in, he was like, just pay those off, because if we get married, like your debt becomes my debt. So I haven't been saving. Okay. So now I was like, okay, if I have to go and pay $1,300 for a studio apartment, like that's going to be very tight. And like, I have no furniture. I sold all of that when I moved in. I don't even have like a coffee machine. It's like just thinking of all these little things where this isn't a decision. I can just be like, okay, I'm going to move out. Like it's a big decision I have to think about for both ends.
Yeah, I definitely think you should think about it. And I think you know, I love that you guys are going to couples therapy. And I don't think you're in a position to make a rash decision anytime soon. But I also don't think you need to be dragging this out for months either.
Exactly.
I also think while it might be wildly inconvenient and not ideal, and there might be some like tough choices and some nights maybe sleeping on a mattress without furniture, you can do it.
Yeah.
Maybe you can even pick up a second job. You know, you will have some free time on your hands because you won't have a boyfriend to complain about. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, and you're young. And so
I was going to say, like, that part, yes, it's scary. Like, the thought of just having to start over and, like, you know, I live in this nice house right now and having to move to a freaking studio apartment. That is scary, but I know I'm capable of doing that. I lived alone before. Like, I'm capable of doing that. I think my fear right now is, at what point do I just stop trying to fix this? At what point do I say, you know what? I know what I'm worth. You can't live up to that right now. Like, I need to remove myself from the situation, and hopefully you can figure out what you need to do, or if you even want to be with me, I guess.
I think because, you know, with the age difference and more specifically the money, because, you know, when we talk about like age difference, the whole power dynamic conversation comes up. But like, as you also pointed out, I mean, it's a variable of, you know, it's also the money and the age play a role together. Obviously, with him being older, it makes sense why he might be a little bit more advanced in his career, and maybe why he might make a little bit more than you. But nevertheless, there's all different ways that you know, power dynamics can shift in a relationship. Like all of a sudden, yeah, you know, your ability to regulate your emotions and your feelings and communicate effectively gives you a sense of power that he might not have. Like maybe he's just simply incapable of doing that. I don't know. But this is all to say that I think you really need to, you kind of already have, but I think it would be a good exercise for you to really just say, all right, no matter what happens, and no matter how convenient it might be, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I can move out. I can reset. I don't like to use the word start over. You're not starting over. You're just kind of resetting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What, you know, you're not being reborn. You're not like getting a whole new group of friends. You're not moving into a city. You're just, you're just resetting, and it's going to be a little more inconvenient. You're not, might not have as nice of furniture or a home, but a lot of fun could be had by getting your own one studio loft apartment and decorating it the way you want. And a lot of, you know, you can have a ton of fun, and it might be different, and it'll be good memories. I have great memories that are now amazing memories, memories I'll always cherish, of my girlfriend cheating on me and me having to move out and move in with my grandma, which at the time was really, you know, humiliating as a 28-year-old guy. Mm-hmm. Who really like always valued being able to take care of myself. And I always valued like being in a, like having my own place and being, you know, successful and not like feeling like my life was a mess. I always valued that stability. Mm-hmm. And so like for me to having to move in with my grandma, and that was a choice. I just didn't want to be there. So she lived in the city, and like, I was like, I can't be here. So I've such good memories of living with my grandma. And we had fun, and we hung out and went to baseball games, and I would get home from the bars and she'd be up knitting, and we would shoot the breeze about like my nights, and it was a lot of fun. And I don't know what kind of fun you're going to have, but you're certainly going to have new experiences. But I think you know, having that conversation with yourself saying, I can do this, will free up whatever concerns or fears you have. It'll give you more power. And then I think you will start making decisions based on the relationship, solely based on the relationship.
And that's where I am. Like literally yesterday I applied for an apartment. I'm in the freaking queue for Taylor Swift tickets right now, but I used that money yesterday to send applications for apartments. So I'm just like I'm making those steps, and I'm genuinely like I paid money to send my applications in for apartment to get that ball rolling. I don't know at what point do I straight up say I'm out. What point do I say, okay, this is when I want to move into a new apartment? Like,
who are you seeing Taylor with?
She's not seeing Taylor anymore.
No, but I'm saying like, who, if you're going with a girlfriend or like a family member or whatever, can they like pay for your ticket for now? You explain the circumstance and then pay when it comes to see her.
Okay. Now a little more backstory. I mentioned this
is a stressful day for Swifties everywhere. I feel you, girlfriend.
I've been in queue all day, but like my boyfriend, ended up, he said he would pay for them. He totally understands. But I'm also like, I don't, the money right now for the tickets.
Does he know
like,
you're applying for apartments?
Yeah, I told him last night.
What'd he say?
I don't know. He didn't say anything. He like looked shocked and his eyes got really watery. And I was like, what else do I do? Do I sit here and just be miserable and sad and feel like you don't even love me?
Did you say that?
I did. He didn't say much last night. Like he looked just shocked. And we were sitting there and I was talking for like 15 minutes. And after a while, I was like, literally, I was watching Bachelor in Paradise, paused it. And I was like, we had that talk. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, if you don't have anything else to say, that's fine. But just let me know so I can go upstairs, shower, and continue watching my show. And he just like was in shock. And I went up to bed, continued watching my show, kind of fell asleep. He got into bed later that night. Funny enough, last night when I was talking, I bought him the book Atomic Habits a few weeks ago. And I was like, I don't want you to read this book. And last night I was like, I bought you that book and you won't even read it. Like, it's kind of, you have to fix a lot of your habits. And he got into bed last night and he was reading the book. Like he does these little things, but it's like I have to tell him or like cry about it for it to happen, you know?
Have you said that?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you just have to ask. I can't give you an answer of what your limit is.
I know.
Or how much therapy you can do. Like going to couples therapy twice isn't going to fix your problems.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like how done are you? You sound kind of done. He doesn't seem like the most emotionally mature person. It's not that he can't get there, but how much do you want to deal with that? He might need a little love to, like, in the sense that like you might be done giving this to him, but it sounds like a guy who you might need to remind, like, I want this to work. I really do. Because the things that you're saying, I could see him picturing being like, she's already given up. She's done. So why should I try?
Yeah. And I know he loves me and like, we're like each other's life partners. Like we both can't imagine like not being with each other and like doing life together. I know that's true. And we've vocalized that to each other before, but like he needs to do that push and put in the effort. And I don't know. I don't want to throw my towel in too soon, but I also don't want to keep babying him for like 4 more months, you know?
What's 4 more months isn't a big deal. I'm more concerned about like a year, or year and a half.
Yeah.
This all happened last night.
Yeah. I mean, we got into a fight Sunday, not even a fight. Like he just shut off. I said something and he shut off. We didn't talk for like 36 hours.
How did therapy go?
I thought it went well. And it was a big deal for him to go into therapy, right? Uh-huh. Big deal getting him there. Like we're driving, I was praying. I was like, dear God, please like let the words like go into his head. I thought it went well. And at the end, the therapist like, do y'all want to reschedule for next week? And he was like, yeah, like let's get on the calendar for a week from here. But then, you know, we get home and he's like, I just felt as though I was being lectured to. And like, I was like, okay. And the therapist had said some things that were very insightful that I took to heart that I'm like putting into practice. And I mentioned, I was like, why aren't you like putting any of this into practice that we learned for like a couple days ago? And he was like, I felt lectured. So now I'm like, I don't know. I thought it went well.
This would be a fun mediation call.
I think I could get him to do it, to be honest.
Really? Well, we're down. Yeah. I mean, listen, your frustrations are valid. And again, you're going to have to decide for yourself what your limit is.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting very defensive. So it's like if he were sitting right, the reason why I said like I'd love a mediation call, because I would ask him, it's just like, maybe you do, like clearly your partner is frustrated with you and she loves you and she wants to make it work and she's not getting things from you that she needs. So clearly she needs you to do things and you're more focused on, you know, whether she's doing as much as you need to work on. Maybe you need to work on more than she needs to work on. She seems to be more unhappy with this relationship than you are. Mm-hmm. And that's not to like make you feel bad or worse. It's just that's the reality of how she feels. There may be a time if you guys stay together where you might be feeling like you're not getting enough from her and you're going to have to communicate that. But right now your partner feels like it's a challenge to get you to make her feel like a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to constantly remind you how to make you feel a priority. And when she gives you notes on how to make you feel like make her feel like a priority, you seem to not want to do any of those. I always talk about how like Natalie makes it easy for me to be successful.
Yeah.
And she's very generous by saying like, I would really like some flour. You know, she jokes about it, but or she's very clear and I can decide whether I want to do those things or not, but I often do them. And you know what she does when I do them? She says thank you and she's happy and that she doesn't make those comments like, well, it'd be nice not to have to ask you. Like, no, we have a relationship where she's just like, I'm going to tell you the things I want that make me happy. And it'd be nice if you could do like a chunk of those, you know, and because it makes me feel like you make me a priority. And if I can, and at any moment I could, I don't feel this way, but if I wanted to, I could say, you know, if I, let's say I felt taken advantage of or something, or, you know, or maybe I was just like, boy, you're asking a lot. I could say, hey, you know, like, seems like you ask a lot, but you're not giving enough, you know, again, that's not happening, but like that could happen. And I would communicate that. But he is just like, he doesn't want to help himself. It's like, you say you don't want to lose the relationship, but what are you willing to do to keep this relationship going? Because relationships take a lot of work. And if you're looking for someone to just have around to be at home when you get home, then she's not your person.
I think the other day I mentioned the flowers thing, kind of like you said, how Natalie would do. And he bought me flowers the next day. Like, that was one really sweet thing he did. And I didn't verbalize this, but in my head, I was like, of course I had to bring it up.
Now, you got to let that go.
I know. For and now, I didn't say anything. I was very grateful. I was like, thank you. Yeah. Like, these are beautiful. They're like sitting right here at my desk. And like, part of me just had like this feeling right now when you said all that, like, I think I want to let what I told him last night kind of simmer and sit and see, like, over the next few days. I'm going home for Thanksgiving next week. So that can almost be like a test point for me, like, over the next few days, see what happened and see if that resonated with him at all.
I think maybe even writing him a letter could, you know, because sometimes you sit down and talk and then it snowballs into like an argument.
Yeah.
And I feel like this letter would go something like, you start by saying how much you love him and how much, like, if it was my choice, and if it's my choice, this relationship would work out. If it were my choice, you would be my person. But it's not just my choice. It's our choice. And our decisions we make in our relationship will determine whether that's going to be a reality or not.
Yeah.
I want this to work. But for it to work, I want to be with someone who on a regular basis makes me feel like a priority. And I want to be able to communicate to the person I'm with ways to make me feel like a priority. And I want them to want to do those things because they love me, you know? And I want that to be you, but I can't make it be you.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that you're willing to do these things. We will always have to work on things. We'll always have our challenges. At a minimum, if I give you ways to make me feel like a priority, then I want you to want to do those things, because it would be nice if you thought of those things on their own, but I'm not, I don't even need that. What I need is to know that you're willing to do the things I ask and want to do it because it makes me happy. And I want you to want to make me happy, and I want to make you happy. And if you have needs, I want to communicate those needs. But at the end of the day, we have to want to make each other a priority, and we have to want to make each other happy. And we have to be willing to make compromises and sacrifices to do those things for each other on a regular basis. And if you're down for that, I'm totally down. But what I'm not down to do is constantly wonder if you give a shit, like, making me happy. I'm not interested in just being your, like, live-in girlfriend. You know, I'm not just interested in being here. Like, I want to have an independent life, and I have things I love, and I have things that, and you have things you love, and I want you to enjoy those things. But I always want it to come back to us. This is what I want from a relationship. And I hope that you want to give it to me. And if you can't, that's fine, but that's a choice you're making. And I'm only willing to wait around so long to do that. Yeah. And I need you to be less concerned about whose job it is to fix it. This is an us and a we thing.
That was good. I think I will write him a letter. I've been, honestly, you mentioned it a few episodes ago, I think about like writing a letter or something. And that kind of like sparked in my head. I was like, I almost want to write a letter to him. So I think I will now.
Yeah. Something like that. And just to say, you know, when you, is because he's a guy, I think when you give him the letter, you need to say, please read this whole thing and just take your time, maybe read it a couple times. This is really exactly how I feel about us. And I really need you to hear me. And I'm writing you this letter because I don't want it to be a back and forth. I really want you to like take in what I'm saying.
Oh, that's perfect. I'll do that.
And see if he's willing to step up.
I know. He needs to at this point.
In the meantime, until you're out, don't hedge your bets, because that's not helping. You know, I understand you're a planner. You don't want to like feel homeless, but like, trust me, it really hurt him when he found out you're looking for another apartment, and he probably just assumed that you're already given up, so he's going to give up.
And you think the letter will fix that?
I don't know. But if you're still willing to work on this relationship, I think you need to remind him that you still want to make this work. And then you need to communicate your expectations on what you need out of the relationship, and you hope that he wants to give it to you.
Okay.
But make it clear that this is like, these are my frustrations. This is why I'm frustrated, because I feel like I am communicating how you can make me feel like a priority. And I feel like you're not making it a priority to do some very simple things that I'm asking. And if it's that hard, I don't want to be with someone where it feels like it's a struggle to make me feel loved.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's hard for you to make me feel loved. Mm-hmm. And if he gets offensive, exactly. He'll be like, well, I don't know why it's so hard for you. Be like, well, thank you for the flowers. But like, I want to be with someone who, like, one of my love languages is words of affirmation. So I want to hear that you love me on a regular basis. I want you to call mm-hmm. me beautiful on a regular basis. I want to feel beautiful. I want to feel special with the person I'm in love with. And I need the person I'm with to say that to me from time to time.
No, that's exactly it. It's exactly what I'm thinking.
But if you're still wanting to work on this, you need to let them know that that's your priority. Because yeah, hedging
like
your
I
bet.
Am. Yeah. I can't imagine like not working on things. Like I love him so much. And like we have a dog to get, like, I can't imagine not, you know, being here. Like I'm close to the edge, but like I'm not there yet.
There's going to be a lot of inconveniences if you move out, but in the most simplest way, you need to let them know that A, you still very much want to make this work, but you're also not afraid, even as hard as it's going to be, and as much as you do not want to do it, mm-hmm. to like ultimately leave this situation if you're not going to get what you need out of a relationship. And he needs to understand both those things.
Mm-hmm.
He should be able to understand those simultaneously.
He should. He will. He can.
And if he's down into mediation, give us a call.
I will.
I think right now, my guess is he needs to even know that you are hopeful. He's preparing for you to leave right now, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to protect himself.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
But yeah, you still can only do 100% of your half. Remind him of that too. Mm-hmm. It feels like I'm doing 100% of mine from an emotional standpoint. For us to be connected emotionally feels to me like I'm doing the heavy lifting, the emotional heavy lifting in our relationship. And I'm trying to do some of your part, and I need you to do all of your part so I can just focus on doing all of mine.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. Perfect. Thank you.
Well, keep us posted.
I definitely will. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, good luck.
All righty.
Take
bye,
care.
Nick.
All right. Bye-bye. How's it going?
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's your name?
My name's Sloan and I'm 27.
How can we help, Sloan?
So I guess the gist of it is I had this guy visit me from out of town and he couldn't get it up all weekend. And I think I'm just wondering if there's a bigger issue there or it was because he was super nervous and in his head.
There's no liftoff?
No liftoff.
Give me some details. Who is this guy? How old is he? How'd you guys meet? What's the situation? Why would he be stressed?
So I've known him for a few years. We've met like a few times over the years. And we met through a mutual friend. We've like only met like once or twice, honestly. But like both times we kind of like ended up like making out. That was it. And then we've kind of been talking a lot over the past few months. We still both live in different cities. And it's progressed a little bit more. Like he started to like FaceTime me and stuff like that. And he asked me to come and visit him. And I was like, no, you can come visit me. And I didn't think he was actually going to. And then on a Monday, he booked a flight and he came that weekend.
Okay. And you guys tried to mess around and...
But yeah, I mean, he like got in town. We like went to dinner, went out and had some drinks and then like came back. And that night nothing happened. And then he said that he was really in his head and that he like really liked me and it like just wasn't going to work. And then, but like, I was like, okay, so maybe it was alcohol and stuff.
Did you start messing around and he said this or you guys didn't even get to that?
Yeah, we didn't really even get to that.
You weren't even making out.
No, we made out and we were like in bed, but then like he just couldn't get it up.
So you were trying to get it up?
Yes.
There was some heavy petting.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And he was like, sorry, I'm just in my head. This isn't going to work.
Yeah, he said like he was like super nervous about the whole weekend and that he like really liked me and that.
How old is he?
He's 28.
Okay. And then what happened the next day?
So then the next, I just like, that's never happened. So I kind of didn't really know how to handle that. And the next morning, like it like still didn't happen again. And then I kind of just was like, okay, like, let's just go. And we kind of had a nice day. We met my friends later that night. Everything was fine. And then yeah, Sunday morning, kind of like the same thing happened again and he couldn't. And I'm cringing at what he said, but he said like, despite my dick not working this weekend, I do really like you.
That's kind of funny.
It's kind of funny.
At least he's like acknowledging it. I think it'd be worse if he was like acting like nothing happened.
Yeah, I agree.
Have you heard from him since?
So yeah. And so that's kind of my issue. So he has invited me to come and visit him, but I'm kind of wondering how I like navigate the situation if this happens again. Like, I, like, we didn't really like talk too much about it. I'm like, is this a bigger issue or is this just like really just nerves? I don't know. I mean, I don't think he would come and visit a girl if he had actual ED and was like taking something. Like, he would have brought something, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it's just nerves, you know.
For a full entire weekend?
Possibly, yeah.
Well, especially if he's like, if he goes wrong the first time, like, I'm sure it snowballs. Yeah, and then he's like, okay, it can't go wrong again. And then like the pressure just gets like more and more immense. And also I think like some guys, like, it's not like, it's got to be an issue for the first time at some point.
I know guys who literally struggle to get it up if they're not actively dating someone, or if they don't really know them that well, or if there's not that emotional connection. So, I mean, it's the first time you've hung out in person.
Anxiety will crush a boner like no one's business. It's tough.
I mean, let's put that on a t-shirt.
And it definitely will snowball. And like, as a guy, you're just like, it's like panic mode. It's like, oh my God. It like, and then you're like, you know, and it's just, yeah, it can get worse and worse. I don't know if there's anything to do other than not make it worse.
And I mean, I don't feel like I did. I mean, I didn't, I was like, it's fine. Like, I wasn't.
I think if you like him and you're interested in getting to know him better, you should take him up on his offer and you should just try to take sex off the table.
Okay.
Maybe you don't even need to say anything and just be like, I think you want to say, what did you say when he made that joke?
I mean, I just like laughed and I was like, it's really fine.
You need to say more than that. I think you need to maybe hit him with, I really had a nice time too. Don't bring up his dick networking. Just let him know how good of a time you had and how much you want to get to know him more, and make him feel like, despite all that happening, that's not really your concern. Because ultimately, let's just assume the best, that he has a totally fine working penis and he's just a little stressed out. And maybe he is just a good guy who really cares about what you think, and he's got in his head and it snowballed and eventually things are going to work just fine. But what you did have is a really nice time with a guy, which is hard enough to do. And let's prioritize that versus making it all about his dick.
And I mean, I like texted him that I had a good time and I would come visit him. And this was another one of my questions. So then in our text, like after that, he then kind of like freaked out and was like, I don't want a long distance relationship.
When did he say that?
It was so after he visited, I like said I had a great time with him when he came, and that like I would be down to come and visit him, like he asked me to do before he left.
So you did say you had a great time. You didn't say it was fun. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I did. I mean, like, it should have been more awkward than it was because I hadn't seen him in a few years, and it was like, it went really well. But yeah, then he was just saying like with his job, he can't have a long distance relationship. He's like, thinks that's a deal breaker for him. So then I was just a little bit more confused then about like why he came to visit, and then if I should even go down there and visit on that. No, but like he said, he didn't want to stop talking to me and we're still talking. So I don't really know if like maybe because of like the whole sex thing and that like not happening, like then he was even more in his head about like everything, or if he's like just telling me what I need to like listen to and that he doesn't want.
Yeah, I think you just need to kind of call him out on his contradiction. If he's going to say, I'm not interested in a long distance relationship and you guys are long distance, then there's no point in you guys talking.
Yeah.
And I think you should be clear about that. Be like, listen, and I don't know how you stand. Be like, I don't think anyone's interested in a long distance relationship and, you know, work. But at the end of the day, I don't want a long distance relationship either. But I also right now in the point of my life where I just want to prioritize valuable connections. And I feel like we like connected and I'm open to getting to know you more. I think we both recognize that a long distance relationship has its challenges. If you know with 100% certainty that like this isn't going to go anywhere, then I don't think it makes sense for me to finish. Or I don't think it makes sense. No, no pun intended.
Since you didn't finish, I will.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't think it makes sense for me to come out.
And that's kind of what he said in the text. He was like, "If you see this going like somewhere, like he just was like, I don't think I want long distance. So like, if you're okay to come down, and like knowing that, then that's kind of up to you, but I still want you to visit and I do like you." So I'm just getting like all this like contra indicating stuff.
So call him out about that and don't text this. Get him on the phone.
Oh yeah. No, I wouldn't text this.
Just FaceTime and be like, can we talk? Like, which one is it, man? But you want to, oh, so you want to be fuck buddies with a broken dick? Don't say that. But you get my confusion, you know? Yeah, definitely don't.
I mean,
say
I know he wasn't coming to visit me just for the sex. So that's great, I guess.
Yeah. Don't say that. Be like, just try to have a mature conversation. Just be like, what do you want? Because you, to say, you're you're kind of confusing me. I'm not looking to start a situationship, or I'm not looking to have a long distance fuck buddy or a hookup friend. Just say that. Don't make any jokes about the dick situation. You know, just assume that everything works just fine. And you just saying that might even give him some confidence to that. You just have faith that his dick will work. You tell me, like, it's not in to say, you know, like you're putting this on me. Like what I want from anyone I'm hanging out with, I want some level of commitment and expectation, you know? So like you saying, oh, I don't want this, this and that, but I still want to see you and I still like you. What is that? What I know I don't want to do is waste my time. I'm interested in getting to know you. I'm interested to see where this goes. But if you know for certain that you're not in a position to have anything romantic, long distance or otherwise, then we definitely shouldn't hang out. And that's a civil conversation.
Yeah.
But you could say, I do like you and I think we might be like ending this prematurely if you like me too.
Yeah.
Just call him out on that. I guess what I would do.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Cause I've just gotten a lot of like mixed, I think, things from him since the visit. And just, I think it was a pretty big deal for him to come and visit after like we hadn't seen each other for a while and everything like that. So.
Well, great. Yeah. And he had a nice time, but like, and you're willing to go visit him, but you're not willing to go just to like have something to do. Like you're not a bored person with nothing to do. That's basically what he's like. If you're bored and you have nothing to do, come visit me, you know? So when he says things that contradict themselves or don't make sense, it's fair to ask what he means and ask for clarity. Well, to say that doesn't make sense. Which one is it? Do you like me or you're not in a position to be in a relationship? And if he says both, be like, well, you're going to have to pick. Like, it's not fair for you to put on me. Do you like me enough that you want me to fly out and spend money and come visit you and invest my like limited time and see if this can go somewhere or not? And like, it's cool either way, buddy.
Yeah, that's definitely what I need to do.
You know, and make him decide.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that he kind of like thought almost a little bit. Cause like after talking to our mutual friend, he said that like he left the weekend pretty freaked out. And yeah, I just like, I'm just down to like, I think I'm more willing to be in a long distance relationship than he is. Yeah. I'm not necessarily with him, but I at least would be willing to see where it goes.
Well, I mean, listen, there's also something to consider too, that maybe this guy is so in his head, he can't get out of it, that like, clearly his dick didn't work. And now he's just not making any sense because he's just like ruminating and thinking of every worst case scenario. And maybe you can say, hey, just an observation. It seems like you overthink a lot. How about we just agree to just be in the moment and then evaluate afterwards? If you're telling me there's zero chance, then I don't think I should come.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is the case. If he's for sure that he doesn't want anything more, then there's no point for me to go down there.
I don't think this guy has any clue what he wants. What he doesn't want is to be the bad guy, or, you know, he wants to put the pressure on you and have you decide so that if it doesn't work out, he can say, well, hey, I was up front and I told you that I wasn't looking for anything and I told you this wasn't going to work out. Because it's easy to say that. It's easy to say, well, you know, just so you know, I'm not looking for a long distance relationship. So like, if you still want to hang, I like you. And if you want to come out, you can. So then that way, if you decide to come out and it ends up being an amazing weekend, he can always change his mind. He knows that, right? He can always be like, well, actually, you know, like, I want to come see you next week and can you hang out again? And you can be like, well, you know, I thought you don't want a date. You'd be like, well, it turns out I like you. It's so easy to change your mind when it's good news. And he knows that deep down. You got to hold him accountable for like putting himself out there so that if things don't work out, like, and you're both mature people, you're not going to throw anything in his face. Like, you're agreeing to see where this goes. And you just need to know that he's willing to consider that. And if he, you know, that's it. But yeah, he can't put it on you.
Yeah, which I feel like he's doing with the visiting. So
it's like, I need you to take some ownership of me coming out. Like, I'm, you know, and so then go from there.
That's very helpful.
And like, as far as like, you know, him not being able to get it up, I would, as of now, ignore it. Just pretend it didn't happen. That's not the big concern, doesn't seem like.
No, it's not the big concern. I mean, it was just something that happened during the weekend that was...
The big concern is that he's incapable of like getting out of his head, that he gets constant anxiety and he's, you know, he has literally crippling anxiety because, you know, he's so afraid of every, you know, anything going wrong that he just avoids dealing with anything. So he's always like, can't do that. Oh, I'm too scared to do this. That's a concern.
That is a concern.
So the best way to figure out whether he can overcome that is just hold him accountable for taking some risks. And he did. I mean, he flew out to see you.
Yeah. I mean, that was a big thing. So, but yeah, just, I think the weekend scared him and everything. So my biggest question was just like, if he was like more in his head about that's why he said the long distance thing. But I think it's just a combination of everything.
Maybe it's everything. He just sounds like a guy who's really just afraid. I empathize with the guy. You know, there's a lot to worry about, I guess, you know, for everyone.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not even sure I want long distance. Long distance is definitely not ideal. I guess I'm just more.
Yeah, say that. I don't know. This might really suck.
I'm dating a lot in my city and it hasn't been easy. So I'm like, I had a connection with this person. I'm more willing to see where it goes.
It's crazy just how hard of a time we have by like communicating like simple next steps with people. We're interested in dating. Like we're just so all or nothing. And I get part of the reason why is because feelings get involved and we're the heroes in our own stories. And when things don't work out, we get upset and hurt and we, you know, see each other through our own kind of prisms and like he doesn't want to be the bad guy and no one wants, we all know that when things go south, you know, like things can get said and then we don't want to be the bad guy. No one wants to be the bad guy. I would do that.
Well, thank you for your advice. This was very helpful.
Just to recap, what are we doing?
I need to have a phone call with him and basically tell him kind of what I want.
Yeah.
At least that I'm willing to like see where this goes. And if he's not willing to, then I'm not going to come down and visit.
I'm willing to be open. I'm willing to explore. And I need to know that you're willing to do all the things that I'm willing to do. And if you're not, then I'm not willing to do them either.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. Let us know.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
All right, take care. How's it going?
Hi, thanks for having me on. My name is Quinn and I'm 22.
How can we help, Quinn?
I was recently in a situationship and it's kind of become this drawn out thing. And I'm at the point now where I really need to decide if this was just like a one-time insane chemistry thing and let it go, or if I should take advantage of an opportunity to see him again.
Okay, so you're not currently in this situationship?
No, we're actually a few months past it, which makes me feel really pathetic, but it's still kind of on my brain.
All right. And were you the one hoping it to be in a relationship?
Yes. I was the one that was sort of asking the questions like, can we make this real thing? Can we make it work?
Yeah.
And he was very much focused on career and it was a little messy.
Okay. How old is he?
He's also 22.
Okay. What's this opportunity that's come up?
So I have a work trip coming up. And while we were talking, we were long distance. Like we met on spring break at a separate like third party location. And our hometowns are like about 8 hours away, or, you know, where we went to school. So I'm going to his city where he lives for work. And it happens to be like right in that same neighborhood where he works. Uh-huh. And so I could reach out and like ask to meet up. And it's just sort of a situation where the closure is not coming. And I feel like, I don't know, maybe this would solve the problem.
What closure is not coming that you want?
He first ended things back during school. It was about a month before we graduated. And of course, a month later, he calls me and he was like, listen, like, I really miss you. Like, it just sucks. Like, we're not in the same city. And I just feel like long distance isn't my thing. We have this whole phone call. But then come to find out, a big reason why he broke it off with me was because there was a point that we were talking to each other where I went home with another guy. It was like early on. And that like really upset him. So he brought this all up like again on this last phone call, and it was really kind of just not a good conversation. And we kind of just didn't speak for the most part after that. And I'm just still kind of hung up on it. And I don't know how to like let that go because I feel guilty, but I also feel like we never set boundaries because he didn't want to. So I'm just.
So if I'm hearing you right, he called you up to essentially maybe end the situation. And while doing that, threw back in your face the fact that you hooked up with some other guy while you guys weren't dating.
Yeah. So he had already ended the situationship. We didn't talk for like a month. He called me again after graduation and was like,
I miss you.
Really torn up about it. Like didn't know what to do. And like, I kind of get it too. Like it's a new stage of life. Like I do get it. And before meeting him, I never would have entertained the idea of a relationship as I was graduating college, but I just really, really liked him. But yeah. So then this phone call a month after he ended it, we kind of were talking about why it ended. And he was like, honestly, like I did think that was really disrespectful. And that was a huge reason I broke it off. But he was the one calling me a month later. I don't know. It was a little confusing, but I like can't let it go. And it's really frustrating.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that he said that to you because I can see why you're hanging on to that. I don't want to say I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I don't think that's the real reason. I don't doubt it bothered him. But I think it probably has more to do with the fact that it's, I don't know, maybe, who knows? I mean, I could see a 22-year-old guy thinking she went home with another guy while we were talking, but I can see him letting that bother his ego. Let me ask you this question. Did you ever really shoot your shot with him? Did you really put yourself out there, like, and say, I really like you, I really...
Like, be vulnerable?
Yeah. Did you tell him all the reasons why you wanted to be in a relationship with him, and why, despite the inconveniences of long distance, that you wanted to really give this a shot and try to make it work? Did you ever do that?
So I think I could have been a little bit more explicit and been like, hey, I want to be your girlfriend. I didn't say those words, but I said, we were constantly checking in about work. And I was like, hey, like, I think we could make this work because, you know, the way, you know, COVID work is right now, I knew I was pretty much going to be in a remote job. And I was like, he knew he didn't want to be in a remote job, but I was sort of like, you know, I've never felt this way, and I would be willing to go to whatever city, not move in, because I think that's crazy, but like, I'm remote anyway, I can be anywhere. And he was like, no, like, you're just going to resent me. Like, we did have the conversations as if it was like definitely on the table.
Sure.
But okay. I didn't say the words like, I want to, you know, be exclusive or anything.
So you kind of did it. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
My typical answer would be like, you're wasting your time. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to hook up with someone on your trip, then by all means do that. If you want to like reach out to this guy, it might scratch an itch of vulnerability that you're not prepared to open up, and maybe it might just be best to move on. I stand by all those things, and that's definitely a more the safest, most pragmatic answer to help you maybe get the closure you need, and you get that closure through yourself would be to, you know, you if you want, like, there's no harm in saying, hey, I'm going to be in your town, I'd love to grab a drink with you. He definitely might say no. He could have moved on. Maybe he's in a better place. Maybe he's dating someone. These are all possibilities you got to prepare yourself for. But assuming he's single and he wants to meet up with you, I think you need to be really matter of fact. I think you can't just be like, hey, well, I just wanted to catch up and things like that. I think you would want to say something like, assuming this is true, but what I'm hearing from you, it seems like this is the case, which is, I spent a lot of time this past month like thinking about you and what you said. Like, it bothered me. Like, I understand why it would upset you when I went home with that other person, but at the same time, it bothered me when you chose to say it. But more importantly, I have been thinking about you, and I'm not expecting this to change your mind because you ended it, but I needed to get this out and say, I was really disappointed that we didn't really try this out. I think there's a lot of potential there. And I understand you're upset with me for what I did that. But at the same time, like, we didn't set boundaries. We didn't set expectations. I wouldn't have expected you, you know, had you done that. Like, I'm a person who likes to communicate, you know, and I don't know how you want to say it, but some version of that. I think you just need to really put yourself out there, because at least if you do that, then you're reaching out for him for a reason. Because then, right, even if it doesn't go the way you want, you still might get some more clarity and ability to accept the reality. Because, you know, if you reach out to him, he could tell you he has a girlfriend or he doesn't get back to you. That offers you more clarity. I mean, it might sting a little bit, but then you're just like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, this guy has moved on. Like, there's nothing there. Maybe you sit down and talk with him and you put yourself out there. And again, doesn't give you what you want, but I think you will feel good that you just like tried, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm sensing from you this level of, could I have done more? Should I have done more in this stage of a situationship? And chances are you probably have done enough, mm-hmm. but I don't think it hurts you to do it one more time, knowing that you're going in with that mindset, right? Because again, you probably did it, right? When you were like talking about like, well, I could move, you know, and things like that, you came just short of just saying, I'm going to be vulnerable right now, and I just want to tell you that I really like you, and I really hope that we can try this out. And I know there's a lot of inconveniences here, but I think there's a lot of good things that are hard to find that overweigh the inconveniences of trying to make this relationship work. What do you think about that? Because this is what I want to do. As scary as that is to do, when you do it, and even if you get rejected, at least you can like know that you tried, and like you can be like, all right, well, now I move on. Even if this is you lying to yourself, it'll be hard for you to lie to yourself knowing that you went in with this objective to get clarity. And I think that's the mindset you have if you're going to reach out. You know, it's not to catch up. Don't tell yourself it's to catch up. And, you know, if you want to do one more hookup, maybe that's another goal. But like, this is about you getting clarity and really putting yourself out there. So if you're willing to really be vulnerable with this guy, knowing that most likely you're not going to get the answer you want, then I say go for it.
Okay.
if you're not prepared to do that, then I think you're wasting your time and risking getting more confused and dragging out this kind of unsettled feeling you have. Because there's a way to like move on from this guy without meeting up with him. And that is just simply just accepting that at the end of the day, he didn't want to make it work. You probably gave enough of reasons to let him know that you were interested in. The fact that he brought you, I see that more as a red flag rather than you, like it's good that you can empathize with him. Be like, oh yeah, I guess I would be upset too. It was a weird time for him to say that. Like why does he need to say that to you? And then like, quite honestly, if I'm in your shoes and I'm not trying to give you false hope, I could convince myself that he said that because he's trying to figure out a way to get over it.
That's true.
That's the nice version. You know, the other version, he's just a prick and he wanted to make you feel bad and he wanted to make you feel guilty and he was trying to shame you. I don't know the answer. I do think you should not ignore that he said that. And I don't mean pick a fight about it, but I think you could just say, I'm sorry that hurt you, but I do want to make it clear. We weren't in a relationship and we had no expectations around exclusivity. And I just want to make it clear that you weren't necessarily telling me I was doing something wrong. But I do understand that why that might have hurt your feelings. And I think you stand your ground there too.
Yeah, I feel like I would definitely want to say that because on that last phone call, like, well, I was like a little bit caught off guard and I was just like very apologetic. And I talked to my friends about it and they're like, hold on, like, you're not just like completely at fault here. Like, you're not like, you're being kind of hard on yourself.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I definitely would bring that up if I, you know, did get the chance to meet up with him.
I think the stage is first. I think first you put yourself out there and then
I have tried.
How so?
Put myself out there. How?
Well, I think if you meet up with him, I think you really go for it. You really just say,
okay,
this is my reason for reaching out. I've been thinking about you. This is what I want. And assuming you want that, right? I don't think you should reach out to him if you're like, if you're just like looking for some answers, but ultimately you don't want to date him. Like, do you want to date him? Like, are you open to dating this guy? If this guy called you up today and said, hey, I don't, you know, like, fuck it, let's give it a shot, would you be willing to try?
I think so. What I meant by I've put myself out there is, like, I've tried, like, going on more dates. And, like, it's not like I've, like, closed myself off to that.
Sure.
I haven't found anything close to the connection I had with him. So, yeah, I mean, I think if he actually, like, was open to it and wanted to do it, like,
okay.
Yeah.
Just remember that it's only been a couple months and usually we don't find, like, it sucks, but the reality is it's hard to find people we get excited about. It's hard to find people we get connected with. It should be hard because if it wasn't, then it wouldn't feel special when we found it.
Right.
And unfortunately, if you're doing it right, and quite honestly, it sounds like you're doing it right. I get more concerned with the people who are going on a bunch of dates and they're like, oh, I like all these guys and they don't, or I like all these girls and they don't, like, I can't get to a third date, you know? And it's just like, you can't possibly like them all. So if it is hard to find people you like, that means on some level you're doing dating right, which is you are trying to decide whether you actually like someone because it's not that easy to like people. So the fact that it's few and far between is a good thing. You should be, that's a good sign that you're dating in a positive way. You just have to be a little patient. The only thing you don't want to do is say, well, you know, I haven't found someone in 3 months. So that means this other person is really special. Maybe there's just some guy you liked for a couple months and he was good and you liked a lot of things about him and you definitely felt something, but there are other things about him you didn't like. You know, you didn't like how you made you feel bad for like doing something you shouldn't have felt bad to do. Like, I really don't like that he did that, to be totally honest, you know, because like if you date and you don't want to have expectations and boundaries, then it's a fair game and you can get disappointed and frustrated. You can be like, yeah, that really annoyed me. You know, like when me and my girlfriend, when we were not together and we were casually dating and open about what we were doing and just being honest, like there are definitely times I was triggered by that. It was very important for me to make sure that I communicate. Well, if she asked if I was bothered by it, that I wanted to communicate that I'm bothered by the situation, but make my, like, you didn't do anything wrong. It was important for me to make sure that she understood that I didn't feel that way. And it sounds like he did the opposite, which is like, he's like, just so you know, that's the reason why. Like, what are you supposed to do with that information? That's kind of mean.
And I remember you said that on an earlier episode about you and your girlfriend, and you're like, this is how I dealt with it. And like, yeah, I was upset, but it wasn't her fault. And I remember like that spoke to me when you said that, because I was like, oh, like that seems like the right way to handle it.
Well, I mean, he is 22, so I don't know if I would have.
And neither of us had been in a relationship before.
Yeah.
Like both of us have no idea what we're doing. So
I do cut him some slack because he is a little younger. It doesn't make it okay, but I don't know if 22-year-old me would think the way that I think now. If things progress, you should bring that up.
Okay.
But my gut tells me you don't really need closure from him, and maybe he's not worth this extra effort.
I think you might be right.
Yeah. So I don't think there's a wrong answer. Maybe you reach out to him to see where it goes and see this as kind of experimental and go in there with a mindset of like, yeah, this is probably not going to go the way I want. And if it doesn't, again, I'm going to get clarity and I'm probably elevating what he means to me because I have been dating and I haven't been, you know, I've gone on a series of bunch of boring to bad dates and that has made me miss him a little bit more. But that doesn't actually make him special. It's more about what I'm experiencing and less of what has to do with him. So you go in there and maybe you just try to see what it feels like to really put yourself out there. And instead of kind of saying something, you actually say the thing that you want to say. You just try it. Because even if you get the answer you want, if he's like, I love you, let's date. Like, who knows? We don't know if this is your person. You're both 22. Chances are you're both going to make more mistakes. You're both going to like change as people. And you might change together. You might change apart. You know, we don't really know. Mm-hmm. So be adventurous and try things out and see. But just before you go into any of these situations, set your expectations with yourself. Set the boundaries. What do I want to accomplish from this conversation? What do I really want? You need to have some of those questions answered. You know, the we'll see, or I just want to check in. You know, we'll tell ourselves these things and then we don't really have a plan to what we want to accomplish out of these very kind of nerve-wracking conversations. And then we just, and then we'll say yes to things and we'll agree to things that we don't really want to agree to things. Or then we'll forget to say the important things. So kind of go in with like what you really want to talk about. Be vulnerable, put yourself out there. It'll be nerve-wracking. It'll be scary, but when it is done, no matter what happens, I think you'll feel a little bit liberated and kind of an adrenaline rush of like, wow, that was kind of nuts. Or and maybe it won't go your way, but like I think you might be proud of yourself for really giving it a shot.
Yeah, that's a good take.
So just, you know, have an adventurous mindset.
And I feel like at this point, it's like, what do I have to lose? Especially if I'm preparing myself ahead of time, like you said, like...
So yeah, because it's not so much about what he says. It's about your ability to say what you want to get out so that you can stop asking yourself the questions of what if and, you know, should I have tried more or should I have said this? Get everything out and see if it makes a difference and then reevaluate. All right. Well, keep us posted. I want to know what you decide.
Yeah, I definitely will. Also, just want to say I've been listening to your podcast like forever, like probably since it started. And you've made like a huge impact on me and my friends. We have like a what would Nick say wall. Like it's like a whole thing. So thank you.
I really appreciate it. Well, if you guys decide to get the book and do a book club, let me know. I'll join a Zoom.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right. All right. Take care.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to send in those questions at asknick@castme.com, cast with a K. Don't forget to pick up your copy of Don't Text Your Ex Happy Birthday for yourself or a friend struggling with relationships or dating. Katie Maloney on Thursday. Check out our freestyle episode, all things pop culture and callers on Wednesday. See you then.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.